All rise for the judge. Let's play ball. Welcome in, everybody, to Leading Off right here on Fantasy Pros. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia. That's Dan Harris, and it's you. We're talking all things baseball, recapping the weekend, which was certainly newsworthy. A lot of fun baseball going on. And of course, there's more injuries to get to. We'll get to the ups, we'll get to the downs, the DFS, everything in between. And Dan Harris set the mark. He demanded reviews, and you responded, "Damn, Dan, I love our audience. They are so great. How are you this fine Monday morning, my friend?"
I'm doing pretty well. Yeah, the reviews came in spades. I said I'd love to get to 1,000 by the end of the weekend. We're 1,030, 1,035, 1,040. I'm going to have a little something special for some of the people who left reviews at the end of the show, but I will keep them waiting. On that, I'm doing well. It is my wife's birthday. She doesn't listen to this podcast anyway, so I don't have to give her a shout out, but I'm ready to go today. Really big weekend to recap.
Staying consistent, your wife is, with not listening to her husband.
Never.
That's the way to go. Stay on brand, Mrs. Harris. That's what you do. You stay on brand. Well, happy birthday to the missus. And let's just jump in, because there's a whole lot to get to. And guess what? Spoiler, stick around for the end of the show. Because, boys and girls, I think we got a winner for Mr. Acuña's jersey. Finally. Oh, my goodness. Look, things are turning around. It's mid May. We're working here. We're making dreams come true. So let's get after it. Let's start with the three up. Shohei Ohtani continues to build that MVP resume. What a great home run yesterday at Fenway Park. After the game, Matt Barnes said, he is the best player in baseball. So when other players are telling you this, it's something to take acknowledgement of. I told you I put 100 on Ohtani at 650. By Sunday, you know what that number was? 500. I haven't looked at it this morning, but I bet it's even less right now. Aaron Judge, woo-wee, red hot. Two dingers on Friday, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. He's just hitting home runs everywhere, and Freddie Peralta dominates the Braves, and Freddie Peralta continues to look like a frontline fantasy starter, which is really good news for a young arm that we have had hopes for a while. Now if he could just get some darn offense. But Aaron Judge, funny story there, because everybody remembers I had Giancarlo Stanton as my home run call. And one of our loyal watchers and listeners, Melissa, and one of my Black Book readers, messages me and says, "Hey, Stanton's out." I literally sat down to dinner. I had just finished cooking. I sat down with my kids, Dan, and I look at my phone and I get a message. And she says, "Hey, Stanton's out." And I right away, give me Judge. Because remember, I was on the fence anyway. I said, "Well, he's in. Give me Judge." And Judge hits two home runs. And Dan Harris was not a happy camper on Friday. It was a great, great 1.5 hour kind of roller coaster ride we took.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I tease. I would love us to both hit both our calls every single night. Yeah, that was, well done by our listener. Judge, yeah, he had himself, he didn't stop there. I mean, he homered every single game this weekend. When he gets hot, man, it is ridiculous. And it's also, you know, especially with a guy like Judge, everybody knows this already, but he went through a streak where he struck out in like 8 straight plate appearances and everything like that. This is the best version of Judge, I feel like, that we've seen. So I'm really hoping that it continues, but congratulations to you. Tied up now 4-4. We're both going to hit tonight. Let's do it.
Yeah, and I got a Yankee for tonight, too, baby. Let's go. All right. With the Yankees. So Jordan Lyles is on the mound for Texas. Have we looked at the Jordan Lyles numbers? Mm-hmm. They're delicious. All right. Yep. Down, Corey Seager breaks a bone. Was going to miss a month. Bone in his hand. Wah, wah. Yeah. Terrible. Shane Bieber's 20-game, 8 strikeout or more streak is broken. So, all good things come to an end eventually. It was just kind of odd that it came to the end against the Mariners of all teams. You would have thought that's the lock where it keeps going. But that's baseball. And the Phillies are having some issues there defensively. Gene Segura gets into it with Joe Girardi. Afterwards, they tried to ask him about it. He got all uppity about things. And he's like, "Oh, it happens in the dugout, stays in the dugout like Las Vegas done, blah, blah, blah." But the Phillies have a minus 11 defensive run save differential. And what that means, basically, in lay terms, is they're not catching the ball. They're giving up runs by not catching the baseball. So this is a problem for the Phillies. And I'm curious, Dan, do you have any concerns for the pitchers because of the way the defense has played so far?
I don't think I necessarily expected their defense to be that good anyway. I mean, not that I expected it to be that bad, but look, no, a guy like Zach Wheeler, he's still doing fine. So it's certainly not a plus for the team, but given the fact that they play in a bandbox anyway, it's not like I'm like, you know what? This defense is just, it's pushing me off their pitchers. If you like the pitchers, like somebody like Wheeler, Nola, of course, then, you know, I'm going to be fine with it. But it is a little annoying if you roster these guys because, yeah, that defense is putrid.
Yeah, and to answer Mike Mayer in the chat, our old Mike Mayer, of course I get two home runs for Aaron Judge. If you pick a guy that night, he hits four home runs, you get four. Yep. Whatever you get, you get. That's what it is.
Those are the official rules of the home run
call. And then someone's like, well, you can't replace. I'm like, what are you talking about? Dan replaced. One of his home runs was a replacement. I don't even remember who that
either
was.
Either way, Joe tweeted it out. And I approved it. So it's all good. It's 4-4.
It was an hour before the game. Come on. Now we're
That's
now
why
we
you
got
gotta
ourselves
follow,
a
follow him on Twitter. Follow him on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter in case we make the change. There you go.
Yeah, or just to troll us at the very least. Come on. All right, let's get to some headlines. Steven Strasburg with his shoulder hopefully intact through 4 1/3 scoreless innings on Sunday with AAA. So that looks like he's coming back. Ketel Marte beginning his minor league rehab assignment actually today. And Adalberto Mondesi, remember him? He used to play baseball. Yep. Oblique will continue his rehab in AAA Omaha, which is kind of funny because you remember when that injury happened? And I said, you probably see him in June. And everyone's like, what are you crazy? I'm like, well, it's the 17th of May. Okay, I guess he's going to beat the deadline. Maybe just barely by a week or two. But I mean, look, that's good news. At least we're getting some players back because it seems like we're getting more players to the injured list, including everybody who plays for the Mets.
Yeah, by the way, Adalberto Mondesi is still going to lead the majors in steals, just so you know, just so everybody knows. So in case they've been freaking out about the fact that they drafted him and he's still going to lead the majors in steals, so long as he stays healthy for the rest of the season. For the Mets, Conforto, I mean, I just saw a report. He's almost certainly headed to the injured list. Not a surprise when somebody's running down the first baseline and grabs at their hammy. And McNeil, I mean, we joked a lot about the cramping, but he's obviously had something going on because he played on Friday, he missed on Saturday, he DH'd on Sunday, and then he left the game with a hamstring. So I don't know what's going on, but I wouldn't be surprised if he hit the IL too, which just, I mean, the Mets from a personal standpoint, obviously not that good for us. But either way, I mean, they weren't exactly supporting Marcus Stroman or Jacob deGrom when he comes back with any runs anyway. Right now, you can probably expect the run support to be even less robust than it has been.
Less robust. That's a really nice way of saying
Thanks.
Crappy.
Thanks.
That's a really that's a very eloquent way. That's why you're the EIC of FP, because you make things sound like that. All right, let's talk about if we're buying Nick Pivetta, 6 innings, 7 Ks against the Angels. Good start for him.
Yep.
Victor Robles, 5 for 8, 2 steals over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Oh, well. Mm-hmm. Domingo Herman, who I wish I had more patience with early on. You know, in one league, I dropped him early because it was such a deep league. And I was like, I can't have this happen. I can't sustain this. I got to go pick up somebody else who's hot. But I'm unfortunately looking back and wishing I still had him. I have in a couple other leagues. Josh Fuentes, multiple RBIs, 5 straight games. Austin Riley, Kyle Hendricks all had good weekends. Bobby Dalbec finally signs a life after he's been terrible. I would move on from him right now if you could off the hot streak.
Yeah.
Eduardo Escobar, Carlos Correa, any of these guys kind of pop to you that I mentioned that you feel like is noteworthy, fantasy, maybe you want to go after, maybe you want to get rid of? What do you think from these big performances from the weekend?
Yeah, I think Victor Robles, I am encouraged by what we're seeing. And again, Robles, you know, looked fine in the spring. You and I were all over him. This isn't because of that. But again, his batting average now, as disastrous as this year has been, is at .248. That's not something at this point in the fantasy season that is absolutely killing you. I'm wondering whether or not they're going to move him back towards the top of the lineup. It's a little sort of catch 22 because it's been working now so well here with him now at the bottom of the lineup. But at the same time, Juan Soto is not really doing much right now since he came back. Might lengthen the lineup a little bit to move him to the top. But either way, I am buying this, kind of buying Nick Pivetta. I really want the walks to come down a little bit. He's walking, you know, over 4 batters per 9, almost 5. I don't know how sustainable that is. Like you, I missed on Domingo Herman, where I drafted everywhere. And then you're in roster crunches right now with all the injuries that it was really hard when a guy got sent down. Kyle Hendricks, very encouraged by. He did give up a lot of loud contact. But what you see with Hendricks against the Tigers, too, is it's really the first inning. He's got that bugaboo where
it's terrible. It's the worst in baseball, the first inning.
And he was on the precipice in the first inning, and then he got a hard hit ground ball to third, and they turned the double play, and it was just smooth sailing from here on out. So I don't think you're out of the woods with Kyle Hendricks, but I was encouraged by what I was seeing. His stuff looked pretty good, again, against the Tigers. But for the most part, I have been buying Kyle Hendricks, and I'm going to continue to buy Kyle Hendricks. As for Riley, again, I agree with you, by the way. Dalbec, you know, whatever. We like Carlos Gray. It's fine. Eduardo Escobar had a huge game. But I do think that Austin Riley does have some staying power. I mean, the big thing with him is, again, his walk rate, which was what we talked about last year. What we liked about him is that he cut his strikeout rate way down and he upped his walk rate. He's upped his walk rate even more significantly right now. He's got a 405 OBP. The power hasn't come yet, just 3 home runs. But again, he's got so much that it will eventually come. So Riley is a guy who I really like just watching as his growth as a baseball player. And I think the power is going to come. So he's still a guy who I think you can buy low on, despite the fact that he's batting in the 290s at this point. And I would, because I'm really encouraged by what I've seen.
Yeah, especially in OBP leagues, he's a really good quiet get right now. People might not realize how good he is. All right, are we worried about Sandy Alcantara's 1-inning, 8-run start against the Dodgers? Or are we worried about Lucas Giolito's 5 runs against the Royals? Or Dylan Bundy continuing to struggle with his ERA at 6? Kenta Maeda's ERA is still over 5.
Yeah.
Are we worried? I'm not worried about Giolito or Alcantara. Are you worried about Bundy and Maeda at this point?
So Maeda in particular, I'm pretty invested in Maeda. So I watched that start carefully. He actually looked pretty good the first 4 innings. Then he let the first 4 batters of the 5th inning reach. And then it came out after the game that he has minor groin tightness. And I went back and I looked and you could see him really bothered by it. Like he was trying to stretch out a lot during that 5th inning. So actually until then, it was a pretty encouraging start for Maeda. And then he just kind of fell apart. So watch the injury. Absent the injury, again, if they say this is just minor, he's going to find he's going to make his next start. Although watch in weekly leagues, if you have another option, you may want to go there. I'm not encouraged, but I'm not more discouraged by the start for Maeda. Because again, he looked fine until he was clearly bothered by the injury. But I don't think he's ever getting back to what we saw last year. No. At the same time, I think you can buy really, really low on the guy. Bundy, I don't know, man. I don't get it. His FIP and his XFIP look fine, suggest he's pretty much a similar pitcher to what he was last year. His spin rate is up. His velocity is fine. I'm still buying low on Dylan Bundy. Maybe not to the extent I thought coming in, but for the most part, again, another guy, Joe, where with these guys like Luis Castillo, sorry to bring up the name of the guy that nobody wants to talk about. If I don't see
Voldemort?
Anything,
is that who you're talking about? That you
right.
Should not,
he
be,
shall
named
not
in the
be named. Correct. Unless I see something, Joe, something different, velocity, pitch mix, release point, something that points me in the direction of why is this person failing? Then for the most part, I'm willing to trust the track record. Bundy's a little different because he's really got more of a 1-year track record, right? Since he went to the Angels and got out of Baltimore. Right.
Well, he's got a 12-star track record, really.
You're exactly correct. So it's fair if you want to essentially discount that and look more at the long-term stuff. But really, given the fact that, his underlying data suggests that he's okay, I'm still willing to roll with him. I'm still willing to buy low. I haven't moved him down significantly in my starting pitcher ranking. So again, I think you can with a guy like Bundy, and I think I would to go after him because I'm fairly encouraged by what I've seen under the hood, not over the hood. That's terrible. Under the hood, yeah.
It's just a simple way of evaluating pitchers too, like you mentioned there, and I think it's good to reiterate this for the audience. Look at the FIP and the XFIP numbers and the ERA. And when there's a big divide, it's telling you something. It's telling you a guy's pitching better or worse than his ERA suggests. And that's how it's just a very easy way to go out there and acquire or sell guys because eventually it all kind of comes back down to earth. I mean, it's a very simple evaluation. You don't have to go crazy deep stats and getting into things that, I think that's where, fantasy baseball loses people sometimes is you get so into the weeds with some of these deeper statistics sometimes that people just, it's like, I don't know about this barrel swing rate percentage inside of, a dome where I can't wrap my mind around stuff. Like, I get it. I understand. FIP, XFIP, these are simple things. You look at it, you look at the ERA. Oh, the ERA says 5, but his FIP says 3. He's actually pitching better. Let's go and make a move and vice versa. So
I,
simple.
I couldn't agree more with what you're saying. I think a couple of things very quickly. One, I do think that at times everyone in this community has a tendency to be overly sort of in the weeds on analytics about, you're right, like barrel rate on the 4th Sunday of a month when there's a full moon, like you hear that sort of stuff. I completely get it. What I think the big point is this. For the most part, and let's just go the basics with FIP and XFIP, stuff like that. That sort of stuff, by the way, is not predictive. That just tells you whether or not a player is actually performing poorly or has been better. Bundy has been better. To the extent I look at anything predictive, it's usually Sierra, which you can find on FanGraphs. And that's 3.77 right now for Dylan Bundy. Last year, it was 3.80. So skills independent ERA, that's basically something where it just looks at what he's been doing. And that to me, has always been a little more predictive than even FIP and XFIP, which basically says, what have you been doing so far? Is that backed up? That's more something that I look for going forward. And again, basically the same as last year. So I'm still buying Bundy.
All right. We talked about Aaron Judge's fantastic weekend. Some other guys had some good weekends. Max Scherzer, 5 shutout innings, 7 Ks against the D-backs. And then there's two guys that, you know, Dan helped me draft my Tout Wars team this year. We kind of did it together. Me, him, and Bogman is like, hey, let's all get together and let's do this 12-hour auction that takes, you know, 3 days to do. And ironically, more time not in person. I don't know how that works, but it was even a struggle then. But still, Trevor Bauer and Nolan Arenado, two players that we just price enforced on and ended up with. Yep. And you guys were like, oh boy. And I was like, no, hey, sometimes you just got to price enforce. You end up with the guy. Well, you know what? I was pretty happy with both of these gentlemen this weekend. This was a pretty good weekend for both of those guys. And this goes to show you that, you know, you might not love players or certain players in certain instances in ADP, but in auctions, it changes everything. And if you're getting a good player at a discount, you take it and you run. And I think that's those two guys, Bauer and Arenado, are really good. You could just like circle, like the stock was so high on Bauer in ADP. It was so low on Arenado. And all of a sudden, like everything kind of came into a weird crux where all of a sudden Trevor Bauer, people were a little afraid because, well, you know, could he really be this good? And Nolan Arenado, what could he be outside of Colorado? But sometimes if you take a shot in auctions on the right price on a player, inevitably you do get paid off.
I will say that I had no issue. Bauer was a little weird because Bauer was pretty universally ranked as the fourth, maybe the fifth starting pitcher for like coming
20
in.
$20 in that.
And yet, and that wasn't unique. We were talking about it during that with Bogman, where I was like, this just happened in another salary cap draft that I was in where he just went for way under what I expected. Maybe it just became cool to fade him at some point. Maybe it was the pitching with one eye open or something like that. Arenado, Arenado, I did not understand. I didn't understand because, again, this is something who, when you get a player like Arenado, I think, to me, transcends Coors. Now, I didn't expect him to be quite as good as he was at his apex when he's in Colorado. But again, the home road splits are irrelevant because it takes a while to adjust. Get him out of there. Get him into an environment where he's going to play every day on the road. And now he's basically, you know, he's batting 300. He's slugging 563. He's got 8 home runs, I believe. I mean, I have a lot of shares of Arenado because he plummeted. His stock plummeted in drafts and salary cap, and I didn't understand it. So, yeah, it's good to see. I have zero hesitation about buying quote-unquote high on him right now.
Here's a fun one. Talk about prisoner of the moment kind of trade evaluation. Mike Sabelli, my people, trying to buy on Giolito. Of course he is, because another one of our people. Would you trade Mancini, another one of my people, and Carlos Rodon for Giolito? So Rodon and Mancini for Giolito. Do you make that move? I mean, you're selling Rodon at the peak, and you're giving up a hitter. That's a lot to give up, but Giolito has pitched like an ace. I think in a head-to-head points or head-to-head cats, you take this shot. But in season long, I think I actually want the bodies.
Really? No.
Here? Yeah.
No, I'm running to do it. I get the Giolito. Okay. I mean, Giolito, and again, you can tell, right? People have been listening to this. You understand what my philosophy is, right? Like, I am much more willing to rely.
September 24th. Just wait it out. You've got 6 days left.
Well, look, Giolito has overall, and again, part of it is influenced by the start in Boston on Patriots Day at, you know, 4 a.m. But he's got almost a 5 ERA. He's got a 130 whip, but nothing really looks wrong. Like, his slider's getting hit pretty hard. I don't know why, but I don't expect that to continue. Guy like Rodon didn't have a great start last time out, already pushed back, right, with that hamstring. And Trey Mancini, I like, but Trey Mancini is a very solid but replaceable guy. If I can get the ace pitcher, and I still consider Giolito that, I'm running to do it for a guy like Rodon, who, again, his skills are great, but I worry about the injury history. I don't know how many innings we're going to get from him. I'm running to do that and accepting that trade, absolutely.
All right, I want to fly through these here. Corey Seager's hand fracture means Gavin Lux more playing time. That's a good thing for Gavin Lux. Urquidy placed on the IL, no surprise there, but Framber Valdez through his bullpen this weekend. So that's going in a good direction. Bryce Harper and JT Realmuto missed time this weekend. Conforto and McNeil, as you mentioned earlier, out. Giancarlo Stanton out with a quad. Jazz Chisholm did return, though, thank goodness, on Sunday and stole a base. By the way, do you know Jazz Chisholm's real name, Dan?
Oh, my God. I saw it somewhere, but I can't remember what it was.
Well, yeah, it's Jazrado Prince Hermes Arrington Chisholm Jr., which means there's Jazrado Prince Hermes Arrington Chisholm Sr.
That is a great
That is name. Amazing.
He should go. Jazz Chisholm is a fantastic name anyway, but if he went by his full name, I'd be all for it.
I mean, that's pretty good. Carson Kelly goes to the IO with a toe. Hicks to the IO with a tendon in his wrist. Pollock goes to the I know. AJ Pollock goes to the IL. It's really difficult to understand. They should just rename it the AJ instead of the IL. I think it would be a much better situation there. Hunter Dozier put on the concussion list. That was a nasty thing.
Did him you and see Abreu. That? I love I that Jose it. Abreu took that. I was like, I want to play the second game of the doubleheader. They were like, no, you're sitting out. Then he comes back the next day and homers. Guys,
I know. He's a beast. That's right. He's a tough guy. Tough guy beast. Going out
I know. You're type of guy. I know.
Well, this is my type of, look, you can't play through every injury, but maybe cramps.
Well, Hunter Dozier, frankly, just a good lesson to all you little leaguers. I don't understand the, I'm going to pop up 4 feet down the line, and I'm going to put my head down and run as fast as I can to first base.
Well, like, I think kudos for he ran around the pitcher. What happened was the pitcher came down. Yeah. He ran around. He like kind of put his head down, ran around the pitcher. But yeah, like I think it was more frustration. But the irony was that path he took where he was like running around with his head down, turned around, and wham, just smacked into Abreu. Yeah. It was one for the old blooper reels, which I used to love when I was a kid. All right, let's talk about our sponsor, and that sponsor is Manscaped. That's right. If you want your nether regions to be as razor sharp as the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0, you are in luck. Let me tell you right now, it's getting close as possibly our home run contest is. That's how close you can get some of the hair on your body, thanks to the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0. It's got the advanced skin-safe technology, new guard lengths 1 through 4, a very precise shave, and that 4000K LED light. That is an amazing thing right there. Plus the multi-function on-off switch that engages a travel lock so it doesn't go off and people want to arrest you at the airport. That's a terrible thing. You say, what is that? It's a device. No, it's my Lawnmower 4.0. Don't worry, everyone. Everyone's going to be safe. So to get yours, go to manscaped.com, get 20% off and free shipping with our code LEADINGOFF. Again, that code is LEADINGOFF, manscaped.com, 20% off, free shipping, all can be yours. Your balls will thank you. So Dan, speaking of thank yous, before we get into some DFS talk, I know you've got some thank yous here because you want to talk to some of our people who did such a good job. You set out a task on a Friday where everybody's supposed to be off and not thinking about working, and you put everybody to work. And I think this is great. And go ahead, take the stage, my friend.
So I had said that we were at 995 reviews on Friday for Apple Podcasts. And I said that would be great to get to 1,000. And as I said, I didn't check this morning, but we were at 1,030 last night. And people wrote some great reviews. And a lot of them wanted to be the 1,000th review. I don't know who the 1,000th review was. So I hope it's okay, Joe, if you'll give me just a couple of minutes, I'm just going to call out and say thanks to everyone who left the review this weekend. So buckle up. Here we go. Ken Siskovic, we appreciate you. A. Knies, Ivy League meets NYC is a really great way to describe this podcast. Unfortunately, both of those are me. Joe is from Jersey. I am from NYC.
Excuse me.
Are you from NYC?
I am. I was born in Brooklyn, first of all.
Like hospital or like raised in Brooklyn?
Raised in Brooklyn.
All right, fine. I moved out to Jersey. But I'm also NYC.
And as far as Ivy League, I was accepted at Yale Drama, did not attend, but I did attend Oxford.
Ivy League meets NYC is we're all then. It's Ivy League versus NYC. All right, Speedy PH, thanks for the shout out on the app and the YouTube channel. DFS Win, welcome to Fantasy Baseball. Dinger Dan and Joey P, love you. Mason Crumweedy, love you, Jabroni. You can always watch the pod on replay on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros MLB. Britt Donner, hope you and your boyfriend continue to listen. Jay Little, Joey P was a great addition. You are not lying. My Lie Heart, yes, exactly. Get your news and notes quick right here every single day. TD Sturbs, I'm glad you like the DFS portion of the show, my friend. The fan favorite, glad we make your commute to work better. This. LG Cubs, just because we rock does not mean we are made of stone. That is absolutely correct. Brian Moore, sometimes we wish it could be longer too. Thank you for the kind words. Ports 1369. I agree. Joe's been an outstanding addition to the show. Oh, Mike T-Bomb, thanks for listening. You are right. Nate Lowe should be on the trade chart. He will be this week. G-Luda does not play fantasy baseball. He is just here and leaving reviews for the Manscaped reads. Join the club. So am I. EPOW82, don't regret not finding us earlier. Celebrate that you found us now. Brian Fio, I enjoy your delivery and your banter as well. Thank you, VT Donoff. Your analysis is better than ever as well. I don't actually know that. I'm just assuming. Josh Dodd, 619. great chemistry and entertaining would literally be our tagline if our bosses let me have it. Philly Demon, glad we could help distract you at work. Mr. Wilson 77, I not only get annoyed at Joe during the show, I get annoyed at him before and after the show, and I regret hiring him every single day. And it's you. That is the name of the reviewer. And it's you.
It wait, is wait. Immensely... So that review is I get annoyed at Joe during the show. Is that
that review was I love the show. It's great. Joe's Does annoying. Anybody else feel like Dan is constantly annoyed at Joe during the show? I love
that's
him.
Absolutely true.
But it looks that's absolutely true. And that's after the show true. And before the show.
Yeah.
And it's you. That is the name of the reviewer. And it's you. It's like a horse running the Kentucky Derby or something. It is immensely clear to me, and it's you, that you listen to us every single day with that review, and we appreciate you. Tons of inside jokes. I love it. Robert, shout out to using your Manscaped gear before going to Trader Joe's and getting your cold brew. ZVB, we will keep doing our thing if you keep listening. And BeepSec, reliable info is what we're all about. So that is everybody who left a review over That's the weekend. Amazing. Thank you. Just so you know, we read them. See, we read all the reviews and everything like that. Really appreciate it. Keep them coming. We love you guys. Go ahead, Joe. Sorry.
That was worth the price of admission.
Right it now. Was. I mean, I want everybody to know, like, we always joke about it, right? The reviews really help out the show. The fact that we've got over 1,000 is amazing. But we always say, like, we read the reviews, even the bad ones.
What we're doing. Well, no one's coming here every day to have a good half hour chat about baseball live and on podcast and on YouTube in a way that I think is fantasy related, DFS related. We talk about betting sometimes. We talk about it's a baseball show for a half hour. That's the way you watch baseball. And I think that's what's important. And I think, you know, for all of Dan's annoying at me, he loves me deep down. I trust he is. There is such a love, at least on my end. I love Dan Harris. He's annoyed by me. That's our relationship.
That's true.
And it's just getting going. I mean, we've only worked together now for 4 months. So, you know.
Oh, should I announce the winner, by the way?
Well, I was going to say, you might as well give some free stuff away now that you've done all that. Let's do it. So finally, after what seems like, I don't know, 6 years of trying to give away an Acuna jersey, please, Dan, give us a winner.
Okay. Ben from Pennsylvania is the confirmed winner of the Ronald Acuna signed jersey. Yay. Congratulations, Ben. It is on its way. Look, I realize all these people out there are disappointed that they didn't win, but you have 2 more weeks to enter for the Vladimir Guerrero Jr. signed baseball. Again, same thing. Leave a review, Apple Podcasts or CastBox, honest review, and go to fantasypros.com/MLB contest to enter. We will give it away, and then check your email, check your spam folder just in case on June 1st, because we will email out immediately.
All right. And again, it's go to fantasypros.com/MLB contest to get involved. You drop the review. Now that we have 1,000, Dan's going to get greedy. He's going to want 2,000. So keep leaving reviews. Look, it takes 2 seconds, right? Like Dan's saying, you know, it takes 2 seconds. If you listen to the show every day, if you are spending 30 minutes with us every day, Dan can do the math for you and tell you how many minutes that is. And then, yeah, he's thinking right now. He's trying to figure it out. But think about that. It takes 1 minute to leave a review. And you do that, and it helps everybody. Let's help you win some money here and fly around the DFS, because the good chalk tonight is the Yankees against the Rangers. Jordan Lyles is a fly ball. He's like Ric Flair. Styling, profiling. He is fly ball given, barreling, crazy, home run machine. Woo! He's given up so many home runs and so much hard contact. I can't even handle it. I want all of the Yankees tonight. Give me Gerrit Cole at 12.3. And again, he's cheap on DK again, 10.9. Yep. I don't know how that happened. I'm fading Walker Buehler tonight. Darvish is a good matchup, 11-1 for him, 10-2. Like the matchup he's got, I'll take that side.
Yep.
GPP arms tonight. You got Fried against the Mets, who've got nobody, at 7.2, 7.3. He's a really nice secondary arm tonight. Are you feeling the Fried against the Mets-less Mets?
Yeah, I am. I mean, they're not going to have McNeil, probably, I assume. They're not going to have Conforto. He's almost certainly going on the IL. They don't hit on a good day anyway. So I'm fine with him at the tournament. Again, as you mentioned, in cash, you can't get away from Cole. Or the only other alternative to Cole, again, is Darvish, because, you know, you've got the Rockies on their first game away from Coors. It's always terrible. So if you want to save a little money, I'm fine to go to Darvish in cash. Other than that, I'm going with Cole. But in terms of the tournament arm, maybe a secondary arm on DK or something, Fried, absolutely. I have little hesitation about going to him in this one.
All right. Bumgarner's got an interesting, tougher matchup here for him. 8-6, 8-5, but he's pitched very well.
Yeah.
He's a sneaky tournament play tonight. I'm telling you, he's pitched so well. People are still not going to buy in on it. This is what happens when you have a bad run, and then all of a sudden you have a really good run, but people just haven't caught up to it. They just have negativity. It's the thing we talked about, Robbie Ray. Remember last week when he had 10 strikeouts and he was 1% owned in that tournament I was in. Madness, have a share tonight. Kikuchi, yep. Same thing, cheap on DK, 7.8, very expensive on FanDuel. That tells you all you need to know. Game stacking today, look for a high total in the Cleveland and Los Angeles Angels game. Lots of bums pitching in that one. Then you've got some FanDuel actual cheapness right here. Luke Voit, 2.9. Tommy Pham, actually cheap on both sites, hitting cleanup, starting to walk, starting to make contact. This is what we talk about. Again, hitting in that spot, in the four spot, that's a really good opportunity here for him to return some points. Kelenic and Lewis, 2.9, 2.6 on FanDuel. Some other cheap Yankees. You got Gardner at 2, Frazier at 2.1, Urshela at 2.9 if everybody's in the lineup, which they should be with Stanton dealing with that injury. And like I said, on DK, Pham is cheap. Frazier and Gardner cheap there as well. And Taylor Ward, just 2.3, hitting leadoff for the Angels. He's been pretty good. That is a free square on DK. Taylor Ward is a free square. So, nothing is free when it comes to home run contests. I've got a Yankee for you tonight, and his name is Luke Voit. He's cheap. He's spectacular. He's not Aaron Judge. There's a part of me that wanted to ride this Judge train all the way. But, I don't know, 3 days in a row. Can he do four? Probably. But I'll take Luke Voit against Jordan Lyles tonight. Who you got? Where you going yard?
I think I went with Jose Abreu the last time he faced Jay Happ, and he didn't hit a home run, but he had like a triple and three or four RBI. So I'm going back to the well with Abreu. Wind's blowing in, but still, he's got to carry that offense. I think he goes yard tonight.
All right, that'll do it for us. Make sure you go to manscaped.com, get your 20% off and your free shipping, and go to fantasypros.com/MLB contest to get that Vladdy Guerrero Jr. baseball that we're giving away thanks to our friends at pristineauction.com. We'll be back again tomorrow to do it all again. That'll do it for me and Dinger Dan Harris, but the story of the game goes on. We'll see you next time, kids.